All right, so welcome to episode 3
of the Pat's Opinions podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel.
And I'm Chris.
And we talk and have, and we obviously have opinions because that's what we named the podcast. So how's it going, Chris?
Going pretty good over here.
Cool. So it's been a while since our first episode, mostly because just scheduling and summertime slows down. I think summertime slows down for everybody.
Yeah.
But so I was out of town, you were out of town, and then we're finally recording again. But this time we are not thigh to thigh. We are across the interwebs from each other now. So we're trying the online recording this round.
Yeah. A little disappointing. Face-to-face is fun, but having kids and all the things that go along with being alive in 2018 make that harder.
It does. Yeah. But still got to hit record. So that's what we're doing. So since the last time we talked, you traveled up to Chicago for an event.
Yes, we went to, I brought the family too, went to Chicago for Laracon 2018. It was pretty good.
Nice.
We at Userscape go to every Laracon so far to basically do like the work retreat type thing. It's not really a retreat, but it is the only time of year where we're all together and actually see each other face to face.
Yeah, so since y'all are a remote company, it gives a chance to, you know, do trust falls and, you know, drum circles and get all that stuff in, right?
This time we did do a thing. Well, I guess every year we do some stuff. This year we did, what was really the highlight for me was to rent those city bikes. And they're not called city bikes in Chicago, but whatever, that's the New York, I guess, thing. And we just took our bikes up to the venue, which was like a 2-hour bike ride. Because of course we're not going fast, and also the venue was just far away from the hotels this year.
Halfway through you're like, I've made a huge mistake.
It was good. It was so flat, you know, we're just along whatever Great Lake is there, and I can't remember.
Oh yeah, and you're not in Texas.
So yeah, the temperature was amazing. It was like 70s, 80s, I think.
That makes a huge difference.
Oh, so nice. I just wanted to move to Chicago the entire time, but I haven't been there in the winter, so it's not like a total dreamscape. I'm sure the winter is terrible.
That's true. So you're just taking the best of it and leaving the worst.
Yeah.
Cool. So Laracon happened, and there was a big lead up and tease before Laracon of a new product being dropped, and then it was released
today.
Yeah, it was released today. So yeah, actually that's a really good follow up since it was announced at Laracon at the end of July and then released today. So what is that?
Yeah, that looks really cool. It is
Nova.
It's called Nova, yeah. Yep. And it's a admin backend that you can attach to your Laravel application. These things exist and have existed in some format, except they suck. Mm. Or, you know, they don't do everything you need. They don't go to the far reaches of the little weird functionalities that you typically will need for any application, because everyone's application is unique in some weird way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just reading like an eloquent model and loading in and listing off, you know, some thing from a table is good and useful, but you typically need to do more. And Nova kind of does that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of does everything.
Yeah. So you get a, with the size of the Laravel community and the number of people who are pro and con on it, I definitely saw some of the people, you know, grousing about Nova and, you know, making, either saying it was a not interesting launch or even that they had copied some other apps or something. Like, and
I mean, other ones exist. I'm sure some features are copied, but I mean, from what I've seen, this goes way above what I've seen other ones do, like just the amount of customization you can make and just how refined it looks. That's kind of typical for a Laravel project, especially when you get like Steve Shoger designing it. So the design looks really good. And, oh my God, whose name am I forgetting? David Hemphill. Hemphill? Mm-hmm. He was working on it too with Taylor really heavily, and he does a lot of good work.
Cool. Yeah, I think in WordPress world, we're used to the hashtag WP drama. So seeing some of that roll around was like, oh.
It's around in Laravel.
Everybody has
Everyone's got opinions.
Yeah, and so do we. So
turns out.
So, yeah, and so folks listening to the podcast can't see your shirt, but you're wearing a red single color Taylor Otwell shirt.
So. I have a Taylor Otwell head on my chest, and it says Liberate PHP underneath. Nice. I'll take a selfie. We can put that up.
Awesome. It looks good. Well, cool. It sounds like a good conference, and it's always fun to take the family up there as well.
It was good. It was like 800 people, which is definitely the largest Lyricon, which is almost too big. It was like, I didn't really get to meet the usual people, or I did, but it would be like 2 seconds of like the people I've met just within conference and like say hi to every year.
Mm-hmm. Any good quality swag that you got?
Usually good t-shirts. This shirt I got ahead of time. Fancy. But it was someone who was at the conference was making them, hoping people got them in the mail before the conference, but it didn't work out that way for a lot of us. So we can all blame Teespring for that.
Ah, nice.
I don't remember. I didn't get too much stuff. There was like a good t-shirt or two hanging around. Titan usually has a t-shirt at Snowfur's company. Mm-hmm. And I got one of their t-shirts. Cool. And then we got home and we all got sick. I got sick. Wesley got pink eye. Natalie got sick a week later.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that definitely detracts from wanting to get any work done.
And then I couldn't do podcasts because I was like coughing for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I still have a little bit of a cough, but.
But it just makes your voice sound deeper. So
yeah, sure.
Cool. But since then, we have, I guess we've both been working on side projects. So it's funny because when we made the sort of the topic list and you're mentioning side projects, I'm like, do I have a side project? But
you have main projects.
I have main projects, but my WordPress agency is now, I mean, really for about a year and a half, it's my main work. When I think leading up a couple of years ago, I'd always thought, oh, plugins will grow and that'll be my main work and client work will go to the side. But no, that's not what was in the cards.
Client work is sticking around. Little,
yeah, and growing. And so the plugin shop is really the side project now.
Yeah, but are you getting better clients?
Yeah, definitely. And especially since focusing just on specifically subscriptions sites, it's easy to, like, they have similar issues that they're dealing with, and we can get really into the details of some of the stuff that they want. You know, renewals to happen faster and some of the other functionality that they add so that people can manage their subscriptions. So it's good to have a super, super targeted niche and where I'm not getting some random, you know, people aren't coming to me saying, hey, build me this recipe site. I'm like, yeah, I have no idea what to do with that.
Yeah. So, and that's all still within WooCommerce, like WooCommerce subscription stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically just that. So it's good to be able to have that template. And if when projects come in, sort of put it against that template, and if it doesn't fit, then I pass the project on. So
cool.
It's good to be able to have that liberty to do.
Ooh, and I forget, you mentioned you have employees now or an employee?
So I have 4 contractors now.
Nice.
So yeah, they've been working out really well. One just started August 1st, and he left his previous job, and he had a job, and he's looking for something that's, you know, small number of hours a week, so that just to supplement his income, and he's trying to start up his freelance type stuff. So it works out really well. All the contractors none of them do like project management type stuff. So really, we just throw GitHub issues and comments back and forth, and that's how the work gets done. And it's really been effective for how we work, because 3 of the guys are in Eastern Europe, so their time zones are about 5 or 6 hours ahead. And then the new guy is in South America, so he's similar time zone, which has been good. But he works mostly at night, so it's like he's 6 hours ahead anyway. So, but really, we're time agnostic. We really don't care when things get done. So I'm the only one that like interfaces with clients and like has phone calls and. You usually get to hear when I have too many calls in a day because I get grumpy. So.
You haven't run into a weird thing where you need some work done like now after a call or anything?
I did actually. So that was a couple of months ago where I'd have stuff like, I think it was self-inflicted. So I would say on the call, oh yeah, we'll get right on that, or I'll do it after the call. And then it like the call would happen and it's like 5 p.m. my time. And I'm like, what did I do? Why did I set myself up for this? And after multiple self-inflicted wounds, I figured out what I was doing. And I was like, no, this isn't how normal people work, or at least hopefully not. So I changed the way that I set expectations and promised stuff. And things happen, things get scheduled a couple of days or a week in advance, and then it gets worked and delivered. So it's a much better ebb and flow of stuff. So we don't usually work on anything, you know, sites going down or issues that have to be done in an hour, things like that. So it makes for a lot less stress.
Yeah, definitely. Nice.
So, yeah. But you've been working on a side project that you made some headway on recently.
Yeah. So it must be like once a year I do a course, which I guess I call premium courses because I also have free stuff. And this latest one is all about MySQL backups. And I put that out there, last week, this week, earlier this week, tweeted about it. And then I emailed my mailing list about it. And people, I think I have like 400 signups for this course, which is actually low for other courses I've put out. So I don't know how well this is going to do. But it doesn't matter because I like the subject and it's actually pretty interesting. Just because of the weird things you can do with MySQL and saving data and getting it back and like undoing queries and query history if you really need to. That stuff is really interesting to me because I just had no idea how in-depth you can get with it. So I'm teaching people about it.
The first bullet point you have on the MySQL backups.tv is running development tasks against a production database. And my face just flushed because I'm like, that was yesterday.
I've done it. Definitely. Using like the production data locally and then accidentally running something in the real database or something, or sending emails out, just all sorts of garbage.
I had to erase the whiteboard. It's been 0 days since we run against the production data. Yeah.
So that's cool because you can do some fancy stuff. If you save like your binary logs, which are off by default, so like 99.99% of people don't have this on, you can turn those on and save those, and you can do a lot more for your backups and recovery options with that. So that's the kind of thing that it covers. And then other stuff like better usage of MySQL dump, which, you know, everyone kind of like knows or has used it, but there's certain things you should know about it with how MySQL works in order to use that more effectively. So, So the back end of this course, I want to show you how to automate this stuff, which is sort of like building an app to automate backups. So at the end of it, I'm going to be actually doing some code in the videos, I think. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing this part. And that'll show you how to automate the backups and kind of like build your own little app that you can put on your own like server to connect to your other servers and run MySQL dumps or extra backup exports or save binary logs and that kind of stuff.
Cool. Servers for Hackers is screencast of like command line stuff. So is this going to be a similar type of thing?
Yeah, for sure. Pretty much everything I do is, I guess, geared towards that. Maybe my scaling Laravel course had some more code in it, but even that was really server oriented.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So that'll be out. I have no idea when that's going to take. I mean, I'm with kids and everything takes so long.
Speaking of that, we were going to talk about, you know, we joke about hashtag dad ops and, you know, I have three kids and you have one kid and it's, you know, it definitely affects your time, right? Like how much time you have available to play games or research new technology or work on a side hustle. So
yeah, and Wesley's what, 10 and a half, almost 11 months old, so he just he takes up a bunch of time just because, you know, he can't do anything for himself. And like, even if I wanted to like sit him in front of an iPad and just like so I could do something else, that won't work because he won't pay attention to it. He's like not old enough to even care.
Yeah, whereas mine are like, today we said get out, you know, put the iPads down. Actually, no, I think the way that today progressed, because we've been sort of on summer break and school starts back up next week, today progressed with on YouTube, you can only watch Minecraft. And then that's all they did. So we said, okay, no more YouTube, go outside. So they took their iPads out to the hammock outside. And then we were like, no iPads. So like they're trying to get as close to a vegetative state watching a screen as they can. So we're trying to just sort of get them out of that. But yeah, so the and I've been interrupted probably about three or four times already before this of random questions. How do you spell burger?
Nice.
Why is this not working? Yeah. So,
man, yeah. Question. I don't even know what's going to happen. I get interrupted a lot, but it's like, help feed Wesley so I can pee.
Yeah.
He's not running in the room going, daddy, daddy yet.
He can't reach that doorknob yet.
No, exactly.
It's coming. It's coming. Just wait. So, yeah, but that's it's a delicate balance, though. So do you think that, I mean, so he's about, you said he's a year?
He'll be a year in September 26th. So
yeah, so coming up.
He's
so
like 10 and three quarters months or something like that.
So pre-dad, you know, pre-dad ups, would you say that your productivity has gone down on courses and updates for service trackers, or is it,
it's changed? It definitely has.
Yeah.
And it's just getting back to the point where I can like find some time to do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is what it is.
It is.
I have sort of two plans in the back of my head for when he's a little older. We're going to put him in daycare a few days a week when he's a year old. So that's coming up. So there'll be some times of silence around the house for like, even if it's just, I don't know, 4 hours. He'll be there for like 4 to 6 hours.
Some parent sanity.
Yeah. So that'll be cool. I also might think maybe join Impact Guild so I can get over there some days.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
And then the other.
We're going to buy a second car, so I'll get down there.
Oh, you are? Nice.
So, yeah.
A second reliable car.
Oh, sorry. A third car. we haven't talked about the money pit yet. So.
That's great.
The Vanagon, which will be a future episode.
Good. Okay.
That'll be more of a therapy episode, but yeah, right. Whatever. So yes, a third reliable car.
Good. Awesome.
Cool.
And wait a minute. 1 second. What was I saying?
Productivity related to kids and.
I'm also getting a little more sleep, so like things like that where my mind just goes somewhere else and I forget are getting a little less frequent, but still hanging around.
That's good.
So the other crazy idea I have is I just want like a backyard office, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's expensive and you have to do crazy things like put down a concrete slab and then put a thing on top of it, like a little building. And then if I hook up electricity to it, all of a sudden that gets added to my property square footage and therefore my taxes and all that. And I'm not even thinking about plumbing because if you have to
do a temporary foundation.
What's that? Is that like a stone gravelly type thing?
Just like, a pier and beam type thing or just,
I don't know.
I wonder how that would work.
Maybe. There's probably all sorts of loopholes. And then we have to ask the HOA if I'm allowed to do that kind of thing. And it's annoying. And of course the price tag would be a lot. So
yeah.
I mean, I think it would probably be like $20,000 or something like that.
Right. Right.
More if I wanted to get plumbing in there, but that'd be crazy. Plus that would, assume there'd be like a bathroom and then that would have to be big to have fit that extra space. That's just not happening, but it is a thing I've sort of been thinking about, like maybe it could happen and maybe that could be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to have like a quiet place, but then also just like go back inside real quick and hop out with kids and have some lunch or whatever.
Yeah. We thought about that too. And then I think of, these 102 degree days and just having a window unit that just never gets ahead of the ball for the day.
Yeah.
And you're just sweating.
God.
But it's possible. It's got to be possible. The technology's there. Just how much will it cost?
Yeah, it would cost a bunch. So it would have to be worth it somehow in terms of like my side projects would have to like spin up more money. They'd have to actually happen more quickly, more often.
Have you seen some of those small, they look like mini shipping containers with part of the wall cut out and like
that's an idea.
Steel grate put on it.
But I feel like that would be the ultimate sweatbox.
That would be. That's like something at Guantanamo. They're like, we're gonna put you in the box.
Seriously.
And you're like, I'm going in there voluntarily.
It's 100 degrees today. Good. Amazing.
Only 100. Yes, winning. So what else do we have opinions on? So, pretty much, I think we're both of the opinion that. Most social media sucks recently. Like, it's just not a lot of fun to be around.
No, it's less and less fun.
beyond.
I don't celebrate any of the victories of liberal Twitter because it's just like getting too much, too often, too outraged.
Mm-hmm. So which social media platforms do you consistently engage in? Just Twitter.
Yeah, I have a Facebook, but I haven't really actively updated it in years. I don't have the app on my phone or anything like that, and I don't interact with like family on it or anything. Like, I don't have a reason or an audience or anything on Facebook, so I can pretty much just like don't pay attention to it. So I'm all Twitter.
Yeah, so I haven't been there either. I would say I check Instagram.
I'm on Instagram. That's true. I check that a bunch.
Well, your dog's on Instagram.
Yes, my dog is on Instagram.
You're talking to your kid. So I'd say Twitter and Instagram are definitely the two that I'm mainly a part of. But it's like I want Twitter to work, but they keep doing crap like messing up Tweetbot and third party apps even more this week.
Yep.
With that new release where I can't see who's liked something. Like I don't care about my social media numbers anyway. I'm not an influencer of any sort, but you know, it's nice to see who liked something or how many retweets it's gotten. And so they took that away and then had some other weird caps. So slowly and slowly it's like death before native app. Like I don't want Twitter's app for ads and their timeline crap and stuff.
Yeah. So. I've always been on their native app. So that, I just always found it good enough, and I just didn't want the other stuff. The other stuff kind of, the other ones like Tweet. What was it? TweetDeck was the better one?
Tweetbot. TweetBot's the one I use on desktop and mobile, and TweetDeck is one as well. So
I just like never, like I even bought them because they're, you know, paid apps, whatever, like $2 or $5 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't like them as much as the native one. But the native one, of course, shows ads. Does the like says wheat retweets thing, all sorts of garbage.
The moments and all that stuff.
Moments. What are they for? I made a moment. People liked it. But so that was kind of neat. But like, I've never looked at them myself, other than the fact that I made one with a bunch of like Nginx tips Nginx tips.
Yeah. So of course, social media related, Mastodon has been getting some traction lately, apparently, and it looks like it recently hit that point of enough of a variety of people that I already follow were mentioning that they were, you know, creating an account. Oh, hey, you're creating an account. So which caused me a little bit of FOMO, so that I went ahead and I'll just create an account and reserve my name. It's kind of empty so far.
It's weird. So they made it distributed so everyone can spin up their own server. And that's caused me issues because I ended up getting errors when trying to follow people and they didn't make any sense at all. Like their message, I forget what it was exactly, but it made no sense. It had like no context to it at all. And then other people, when I follow just works fine, even though they're on a different instance, which is the other confusing thing. I'm on mastodon.social. Other people are on, what are the other ones? There's so many, I guess. As many as there are people who want to spin up their own server and pop their own Mastodon instance onto it.
One of the guys that I follow on Twitter spun up his own instance and sort of kept tweeting the same, it feels great. It's like Twitter in the beginning. So many great conversations happening. I'm like, okay.
I don't see that.
I don't agree, but maybe, hopefully, I created my account. Let's see what happens. So,
yeah.
Not a lot of. But then I found out after I created that account. Wow. Okay, I need a phone app and I need a native app because I'm not necessarily going to open up my a browser window just to have this open.
So. Yeah, and I saw some in the App Store. I didn't download any. There's no official one, right? It's just
there's one that just has a couple of stars and then one that's terrible and like which do you pick? So maybe it'll get traction, maybe it won't, but something's gotta, you know, I was, before the Mastodon conversation came up, I was sort of resigned to the fact that we're going back to blog and email. I'm just gonna have to, it's gonna be a chore and to find new people to get to know online.
Yeah.
So, you know, before it's, someone retweets something or someone tweets something interesting, then it gets retweeted and then you see that, and then what, you read their bio, you maybe click through to their webpage, and then you figure out what they're about, and then, hey, you follow them, and then you start getting some of the updates of what they're working on. And then that slowly but surely got pushed away and replaced by all of the outrage and political cruft and, you know, other things like that. So, and, you know, much more noise, much less signal. So
there's so much noise.
There is so much.
I was all about it at first, but then I'm just so tired of it.
Yeah.
I have to start adding some filters. I haven't done any muting or anything. I guess I really should.
I have very, very extensive. I wouldn't say extensive. I probably have about 15 mutes, mostly political terms, just because I have no desire to see anything about that. So, because I, you know, because I vote, and that's about it.
Right.
Like, I vote, and then there's not really much to do in between then. And I don't really take well to people telling me what I should do, since I'm an independent type person.
Yeah.
When people tell me what to do, especially people I don't know, that doesn't really go over very well. So yeah. Anyway, so social media continues to suck. I mean, we'll see where it is in a couple of years because it's not something that's going to stay the same. It's going to get worse or it's going to get better. Yeah. You know, people are going to keep using it or they're going to not use it and go somewhere else.
So. Yeah. God, I don't know. I just don't want it to change. I'm too old. Change is dumb. I already have followers on Twitter. I don't want to get a new audience somewhere else. What a pain in the ass that would be.
That's true. Like, related to that, like, yeah, you have, you know, what, like 16,000 more. Are you able to convert those? Are those an active following? Like, when you tweet something, do you get to see a lot of responses or comments or?
Yeah.
Click-throughs.
Depending on what I tweet, you know, some stuff is pretty inane. But the stuff, like the tweet tips, as I like to call them, or I guess a bunch of people call them, they do really well. And then it also helps with sign-ups to, you know, stuff that
the courses.
So courses and all that. I used to use Meet Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of got sick of tweeting the same stuff over and over again, week by week. I had that for a good year or year and a half or something. And I don't know. I never set up anything to measure if that mattered or helped me or anything. And I didn't notice anything in particular. So, you know, I got rid of it.
Interesting. Yeah, I think sometimes if those aren't set up correctly, then they sort of show themselves as being a bot.
Right, exactly. I mean, you have to have fresh content constantly, and I don't have fresh content constantly, but I do have a lot that I could have pumped in there. But even then, it still feels really stale eventually. So, like, after a solid year, you know, how much it's got really stale. So I got rid of it, and maybe I am missing an opportunity there or something, but I sort of like the current thing, which is to make these tweet tips that typically have, like, an image on them, or, like, I use carbon.now.sh. To make the screenshots really nice, to look like a nice shell. And then, you know, add some emojis to kind of make the stuff you're saying make more sense, or, you know, segregate it inside of your tweet. You know, all that good stuff. And people like that. That format really jives.
Yeah, just the little touch of design really helps to draw your eye to it and make it interesting. Like, you're like, oh, this looks tasty. What is this? Oh, yeah, and exactly. It's useful, too. You're teaching me something. Oh.
Right. Which is, like, the real secret to getting a following on Twitter. Or at least it used to be. I don't know, I guess it still helped Wiz, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, what is it now? Maybe just do it, make it some sort of, you know, political statement as well.
God.
You know, you know, fight the... I can't even make a good political joke.
Hot takes are not the way to get a following.
Not the kind that you want, anyway.
Oh, so. God, no.
Cool. Speaking of Laravel, the local Laravel meetup that we went to the Laravel.
Meetup we went to a while
last
now.
Year. good pizza. The organizers stepped down, and I think we both got an email from Meetup saying, hey, organizers are gone. Why don't you step up? You know, member of this meetup who went to it once. And both of us ignored the email because.
No time.
Because ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
Who has time for that? But apparently a guy named George has time for that. So he picked up the mantle of leading it and sent out an email saying that he was going to get the guy that's on your shirt to come for a Q&A.
I forgot about that. That's right. Next month, so, right? In September?
Yeah, next September. So, and then he also asked, you know, if anybody wanted us to sponsor some food. So I had my business sponsor it or said, hey, I can, my business can do it. Mostly because I just want to see the meetup live. Like,
oh, cool.
I want to learn more about Laravel. I want to see it do well and thrive. And I want to get around, because George, it seems through his bio, has a Laravel app that he runs, or a SaaS, mm-hmm. yeah. for travel deals. So, you know, in my future self, maybe I'll do a Laravel SaaS and build it and market it, and that'll grow to replace client work and replace WordPress plugins. So I'm not saying that's not in the future. So being around people that are doing that is a great way to start. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, I think both of us have the same challenge or desire to know other tech people in town. Like,
yes.
And it's just, it's hard to find.
It's hard in the 46th tech city.
The 46th tech city, like basement, like we are in the bottom, there's like no hope. Yeah, so that was the 46th ranked 46th in the nation for tech talent. Like, it's like, that's offensive. Yeah, so we read that article and sort of had opinions about that. The I don't know what criteria went into that, but that was really,
I was wondering that too.
Really not impressive, especially all the talk that we hear about our tech sector.
Yeah. Well, and what was our friend Hart saying? Something like, it's like the real estate people are like doing all the tech center stuff because they just want to like sell.
The tech sector is promoted by real estate developers who just want renters. Bring your company to pay my rent. And so it's sort of another motivation. So
God. I still a lot of FOMO around not living in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But the downsides of Austin nowadays are like pretty big.
They are, yeah. Just the cost of living there and the number of people that are moving there with that infrastructure.
Yeah.
So I went to Austin last week, and then I'll probably be going again this week to help my niece move in to UT. And each time, it really just doesn't matter what time of the day you're on 35.
Yeah.
It is traffic-y.
It's insane.
It is backed up. So, and there's no other major highway really going in there. So
I visited Austin and I had a really good time talking. I met people who do a very similar thing to what I do. And I had a lot of fun just like talking business and shooting the shit and everything. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to move to Austin after that. And I'm looking at house prices. So I'm like, nope. #nope.
Yeah.
And just the traffic and everything and getting around the city is just such a pain. And of course, it's a huge college town, and I'm sort of not into that anymore. The crowd of late night restaurant bar goer tours.
You're not going to the music festival and your hippie beads and your fringe?
Come on. Bed.
Like, bed by nine. Team bed by nine. Yeah, 46, though. It was really upsetting because both of us work like I don't feel part of the local tech scene because I work remotely. Like both of us, we're both in a spare bedroom in our house. You know, it's not like we're at a typical office or even a typical co-working space. Like, we're both at home. So interaction with other tech people comes at an effort. Like, we have to get out.
Right.
We have to get dressed. We got to get in the car. We got to go down the street and, you know, find that person. And then what if they ramble on about something else, you know?
Right. We're not interested. They're doing stuff that's very different from what we're doing, just because we don't have a huge number of people in San Antonio doing stuff. So like for me to find someone else who is doing info products and content and all that stuff, mm-hmm. is difficult. I still haven't met another person really doing exactly that.
Yeah, that's very true. And most of the meetups that I go to, people are like, oh yeah, I'm learning Java so I can work for insert large company name here,
right,
that,
yeah.
you know, is enterprise level stuff. So, and I'm just like, ah, that's great. Not really interested in that. But, so yeah, so that that's been a, I don't know, it's an ongoing thing. Usually September is like kids are back in school, summer's over, things sort of, it's like sort of this, the second reboot, as you know, of the year after January. So maybe some meetups will happen, or maybe, you know, an event will get scheduled. So that'll, you know, bring some of the tech people in town out of the woodwork, and maybe there'll be some folks that we can meet and make the tech sector great again. I don't know. Make it great again. anyway, so yeah, so that's, I think that's it for this episode.
Sounds good.
Cool. So how do we end up with where can people find you? Hey, yeah, well, what's the new URL?
Yes. MySQLBackups.tv, which is the best TLD ever. Awesome. It was cheap.
And yeah, that's
the .com was taken.
Nice, nice. So, and I'm still GrowDev at Twitter, Instagram, and now Mastodon. GrowDev on mastodon.social. So you can find my one toot there.
I don't think I've even tooted. I have no toots.
You're tootless. So yeah. So maybe social media will stop sucking. Anyways, cool. Well, that's a wrap for episode 2, and we will see you at the next one.
Later.